Hello.
Oh, hey, you on?
Yep, I'm on.
Okay, we about to record. I couldn't get a hold to Paul. He probably might be a little bit busy, but welcome to the Night Shift Podcast. How's your week been going? How was the work week? You know, you doing that hard work with. I didn't want to tell everybody what you was doing, but you're a frontline worker, so. I don't know if you could disclose that or whatnot.
Well, for me, things have been, this week has been a better week than last week. Being a frontline worker, especially now at this point in time, it's been really hard because you have to prepare yourself for everything. You're not just dealing with the public. You're dealing with your coworkers, their family members, whatever they do outside of work. For what most people did not know, that I worked two jobs. One was FEMA, and I was working, I still work at the hotel.
Okay. And can I ask you a question? What does FEMA stand for? Because, you know, a lot of people may not know what that what the abbreviation stands for.
Pretty much FEMA is like for national disasters and crisis.
Okay.
Pretty much basically how they have it spelled out, and well, their antonym of how they have it spelled out does not define what they do. For what a lot of people don't understand, when the unemployment situation came up, FEMA offered the mayor money to cover everyone's unemployment.
Okay. I wasn't aware of that. I wasn't aware of that myself. Learn something new every day. Wow. Okay.
Working at FEMA, I was under Homeland Security. That was one of the reasons why I pretty much could not talk too much about the job, because I'm under Homeland Security.
Yep.
And with being under Homeland Security, the things that we see and the interactions that we have is different from everybody else.
So is it like a G-14 classified thing, can I say?
I would say that we had certain areas in the FEMA building that we were not allowed to go in. You have top secret clearance in order to be able to get to that level.
Okay.
You had to, you know, whenever we did go to them areas, you had to be escorted by a security guard. That's just how serious it was during... What I did was I was a part of the watchtower, which I would go in from 6:30, sometimes 5, to 2:30 in the morning. My job was to watch what was going on with the coronavirus. You know, we cleaned and everything. And I must say this, I'm going to keep it real with you on your show. For those people who don't believe that housekeepers, the janitors, the people with the miscellaneous jobs are important, we are very important. We keep y'all safe.
And you know, I applaud you for that. All the frontline workers that's out there.
Because of the fact that we have to understand that without us cleaning, we your first line of defense.
That is true.
So, you know, I'm not going to say that everybody, but you have some superficial people that are like, oh my God, you know, oh, you got this job. Why are you working this job? This, that thing, and another. A lot of us have degrees. A lot of us have, like for me, I have hospitality. So, me being a housekeeper or a shift manager, whatever, I still have to get out there and I got to clean. I gotta make sure that it's disinfected. I don't have to do this once. I have to do this throughout an 8-hour shift. Mm. When this pandemic first started, I wanted to say the hotel that I was working at was brand new. We had only been open for like 2 months before we were shut down due to COVID. I was unemployed for all of a week, and that's when FEMA picked us up. I worked 7 days, 14 days, 21 days back to back because a lot of people were afraid to come out.
Yeah.
They were afraid to touch anything. It was to the point, like, I would have to come home and take my clothes off at the door because I didn't want to contaminate my family.
Yeah, you know, my brother in Chicago, he's a nurse for the University of Chicago, and he was doing the same thing. Well, at first he was staying in the hotel because he didn't want to bring that home to his family or whatnot, and he said he did that for about a couple of months, but now he just changed it up to where I just take my clothes off at the front door and go straight to the showers or whatnot. So yeah,
I had to take my clothes off, and my husband would take it and put my clothes in a wash machine and wash them, wash my hands, take a shower, just to be thorough, because you don't know who you interact with. And when we first started, they weren't coming out on FEMA and telling people that this certain type of person or these certain type of people had COVID. Like, we worked there for a whole 3 months before we found out that somebody that was on the 8th floor had COVID. And I'm like, okay, when was you going to tell us? Like, we were still sanitizing and cleaning the room. And I'm like, wow. Once it came out that they knew about it and didn't tell us, I felt offended.
Hey, I don't blame you. 3 months later, 90 days later, all of a sudden. Nah.
Yeah.
Right.
Like my brother, he works for PG Hospital. And he is a radiologist. And he's seen some of his friends die from COVID.
And PG, that's what, Maryland, that's the East Coast, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Because you may not know, a lot of people may not know, you know, because a lot of people from around the world listens to this podcast. So for those that don't know, PG is what, Prince George?
Prince George's County.
Okay. Okay, you can carry on.
What it was for me, I want to say throughout this whole pandemic, it's not, the money is an incentive. But the thing that hurt the most is when you see things that you help create and you help build. And y'all are just putting your feet out there, and then all of a sudden something comes along and snatches it away. And you're like, you know what? I've waited so long to do this. I stepped out on faith to do this. And now we are in a whole pandemic and we don't know what we're going to do. Because nobody knew. Nobody had any idea.
But no plan.
My son still graduated from high school. He didn't have a graduation. He had a virtual graduation. Like, my daughter is being taught virtually. I'm in school too, but I am being taught virtually. Some of us need in school training, you know what I'm saying? Hands-on
training.
Then there's some of us that we can get it. But for me, once all of this hit, the hotel that I worked for hired 400 people. Because this is like the new hottest hotel, actually, right now on TripAdvisor, where the hotel is number 3. We're in the number 3 spot. We're trailing the Trump Tower. We're about to take the number 1 spot. We're going.
Okay.
You know, with the pandemic going. You get what I'm saying? With the pandemic going on. But when it came down to making tough decisions. I seen so many of my co-workers and friends lose their jobs.
During the pandemic, within these, six, seven months now?
Yeah.
If I'm counting right.
Yeah, so, it's been about 7 months.
7 months. And I know this has been rough because, you know, with the market, just within that month from February, from March to April, things crashed and a lot of businesses and stuff is closing and still are. A lot of people don't know that. So with you being on the show, I applaud you and I thank you for tuning into the Night Shift podcast. What can we expect to look for right now? Because a lot of people's been putting the numbers to the side. They think it's a hoax or, you know what I mean? People not taking it serious. And these numbers are just shooting up.
Okay. I'm like my cousin, Paul. I'm going to tell it to you and then I'm going to give it to you real. What they're trying to do is cover themselves. See, what a lot of people do not understand is that because a second stimulus package was not agreed upon, a lot of business bailouts did not go through. So that means that if you got a bailout the first round of stimulus and they hadn't came to a conclusion on what they wanted to do for the second round of the stimulus checks and the bailouts, guess what? You are short, because the first thing they said to us when the market, oh, you can apply for your unemployment. Let me tell you something. I didn't even qualify for unemployment. So if I didn't have another job lined up, I would have been SOL. What would I have done? My husband worked, but when you're doing Lyft and you're having that contact with them people, you don't want to do that neither. So then you got to think about it. Like, we're in the job market where we have to have contact with people.
You know what? Can I add? Can I add something to that? I don't know if you've been hearing about this, but they was talking about either terminating the Lyft or slowing it down. I think they was talking about that a couple of months ago in certain states due to what you just said right then and there, because a lot of people don't want to be in contact with other people because you don't know who's carrying it, for one. And for two, you're taking that risk. For two, you don't know.
Well, I know for Washington, I know for D.C., I want to say it's harder to catch Lyft or Uber. I'm going to be honest with you. It is hard. We have a car, but you know, sometimes if my husband works overnight and I got to be to work at 7 o'clock, I may have to catch a Lyft. You got to put your order in for the Lyft like soon as you wake up, because you wait in 20, 30 minutes.
That's more of a faster pace action city, right?
Yes. You're going to wait 20, 30 minutes. It's not like, you know, you can do a ride share. You got to pay full price for a Lyft. Now, you got to pay $10. You got to pay $15 for something that you could pay $7 for if you shared a ride with somebody else. But because people are so afraid, they don't want to deal with that. The messed up part is, I have not seen my mother or my sisters, my nieces or nephews in 7 months.
That's a long time.
Because I don't want to get them sick. Not saying that I'm sick, but I know I work with the public.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take into consideration that with me working in the public, I get tested every week because of the fact that you don't know who has it. There's been situations where I've been at my job and we find out somebody there had it. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. They didn't inform us that they had it until like after everything had blew up. So then they're like, okay, didn't that think about how it would affect us? Because, you know, this is a person that we work, you know what I'm saying, we work with closely. You get what I'm saying? And you feel as though it's not important for me to know that you have this.
You know what? A lot of people, not to cut you off, but a lot of people is in survivor mode right now. So a lot of people have that mind frame, like, you know what, I'm a just toughen it out. You know what I mean? Sick and all. And in these times in crisis during the pandemic, that's not cool. Because on what you're saying right now, you know what I mean, I'm just piggybacking off what you're saying and adding on to it. You know, so in that mind frame, people ain't thinking about others. They thinking about their household or, you know, whatever necessities or bills in that matter that they got to take care of. And I feel like to a certain extent, you know what I mean, I understand, but you know what I mean, you putting everybody in risk.
That's true. But then you also have to understand this. If nobody knew what survival mode was before the pandemic, why panic now? Mm. Now, this is my personal opinion. I'm going to give it to you the way it got to be given.
You got to get it. You don't talk heavy. You already know.
You know that before the pandemic, your financial situation wasn't an issue. You feel where I'm coming from?
Yes.
Now that it's a pandemic, your financial situation is all you can focus on. I need y'all to have that same energy you had when you had it to do what you needed to do with it, instead of having it now and you're holding on to it.
Just like that. Right.
Because I look at it like this. During this whole coronavirus thing, I have, thank by the grace of God, I've not missed one paycheck.
Amen.
Not one paycheck.
All the praises to the Most High.
Yes. And I mean, like, food on the table, I didn't have to go to nobody and ask them to help me. We made it through, and we're making it through. We were able to purchase another car during a pandemic.
Won't he
when
do
I
it?
That man, when I tell you that man, what is for you, is for you. It's not for anyone else. You have to understand, coming when things like this happen, God wants to test your faith. Not jumping off the subject, but
some people
might need to hear it. You got to walk on faith. Because what people fail to realize is, if he tells you, I'm going to provide, that's what he going to do. But you got to do some things. He got to put you in an uncomfortable position in order for him to provide exactly what you need. Nobody want to think about it. The Mother Earth is going through so many different things and so many different changes right now. And he like this. If it's going through this, let me just go ahead and eliminate all this real quick right now. Let me make it so that y'all can stay in the house. Let me make it so, because parents forgot how to be parents.
That's true.
Women and men forgot how to be women and men. People in relationships forgot what their relationships are, and people in marriages forgot what it meant to be in a
talk
marriage.
Heavy with it. That's true.
This only tells us that we need to understand that when it comes down to certain things, we have to pay attention to everything that goes on around us. Because this pandemic says stay in the house. How many people paid attention to staying in the house? A lot of people didn't. That's why we kept having outbreaks after outbreaks after outbreaks. Do you know how it feels to look be at work and look on a board? Like, we have these giant screens in FEMA, and it'd tell you every place it hit. Like, New York was hit so hard when thousands of people were dying a day. I was in there when the president came in and said he needed to order 200,000 more body bags.
Jesus Christ. I think I heard about that. They was talking about it briefly on the news, especially out there in the East Coast of New York.
Yeah. They were putting people in large, they were digging tunnels and putting the bodies on top of each other in crates.
I didn't know that. Wow. I'm pretty sure a lot of people didn't know that. Thanks for sharing that.
There were people, like, this was such a national disaster that when it came down to it, everybody was worrying about how I'm going to pay my car note, how I'm going to pay my rent, excuse my French. Mm. If you wasn't paying it then, what make you want to pay it now? If you was 4 months behind then, you're still going to be 4 months behind now.
Right. Speak truth.
And my whole thing is, at the end of the day, we must understand how to be humble and really know that when it comes down to these things that's going on, we got to look at it from the perspective of, is it my time to get right? I need to get right within myself. Because a lot of us walk around with these masks on every single day, like we are all together, and Lord and behold, we got anxiety, we depressed, we don't know what's going on with life, but we can put on a good smile, because don't nobody ever ask, are you okay? It don't take nothing.
It don't.
To say, are you okay? I'm going to be real with you. I used to come home to my husband every night and cry. I cried every night because of the fact of understanding that I couldn't fix it. I couldn't wave a magic wand. I couldn't make it go away. I couldn't make people feel better. I felt like I was failing. And it weighs heavy on you, especially when you can't see your family, especially when you have everything that you thought you knew how to do. You had to retrain yourself how to do it. And people didn't get that. People got, oh, well, yeah, you trying to be bougie, you trying to be ugly. No, I'm trying to live.
Amen.
Because if we make it through this, right here, knock on wood, if we make it through this whole and intact, we didn't beat death.
That's true.
I'm going to live. I'm going to live through it. I'm going to live while it's going on and after it's going on. Because one thing nobody fails to realize is, think about this. Where we are in Washington, D.C., we got the presidential election going on that's getting ready to take place.
Mm.
Everything that's going on now, like everything in the city is quiet because they're waiting for November the 3rd to come around to see who's going to be the new president. People don't understand. We don't jump out of a frying pan. We jump right back in the hot grease. One is no better than the other.
Nope.
There might be a few people that disagree with me, but understand, as a minority, and how they're killing us, right now I can say in the United States, and there is data that supports what I say, where I live at is the 22nd worst neighborhood in the Washington, D.C. area. I'm in a pandemic and you're fighting to survive. First of all, your pandemic don't do nothing for me, because I got to walk out the door and hope that a bullet ain't coming straight through. You
yeah,
feel me?
I heard about it out there in the East Coast in D.C. Yeah.
You got to make sure that you paying attention. When I tell you it's that serious. Carlin been shot up not once but twice. Being Paul.
Goodness.
And everybody says, well, how do you feel with all of this going on? When it wasn't going on, and me and my husband had got to that point, where we had saved all our little ducats. We ready to move. Everything pandemic hit. You lose your job. How I'm gonna pay this rent? I might as well stay where I'm at. It's a little cheaper. But I can't afford to pay that because I don't know what my job situation gonna be. And trust and believe, once they lift up this protection order for people to stay in their homes and in apartments and stuff, guess how many people are going to be homeless? A lot.
That number going to shoot up. And can I add on to that? I personally think that they going to reclose this stuff back down. That's my personal opinion.
You know why I'm a second your notion on that, and then this is just a little story. Me and my husband call it story time. I'm gonna put it out there like this. About a week ago, it was Thursday. Because of the financial situations of a lot of businesses, my job laid off fired nine people.
Nine people.
Not only did they fire them, but we got to look at things in a perspective of let's be real. Why do I need you here to do something? I can train somebody else on an hourly rate than a salary.
Wow. I never looked at it like that. That's food for thought right there.
Have you ever noticed this one too? Just because you have degrees and you have paperwork stating you can do this does not mean that they gonna keep you. All these people had degrees in their fields. Their degrees did not save them. It hurt me because I know these people. But the whole thing is, I have to look at it from a business sense. If I decide to say I'm gonna keep my business open, but if I keep my business open, I'm gonna lose $2 million. If I cut some people back, I'm gonna lose a mill. What you gonna do? I'm gonna lose a mill because I'm not gonna lose anything else. My profit margin is already to the point. I gotta ask myself as a manager, as whatever I am, and be like, do I really need you? What at this is that point where you know how they say your job performance speaks on how if you should stay or go?
Yeah.
When you had all them people, oh yeah, I do my job. And as bad as it hurt, you gotta look at it like this and be like this. I'm gonna cut you because your job performance in the last 3 or 4 days ain't been good.
So they're getting very, if I'm using the word right, tedious with the performance and everything.
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Because if you don't, imagine somebody offering you this. You can keep your job, but you got to take a 20% salary cut for 6 months. What?
Yeah.
How does that work? You want me to take 20% off of what I'm making? Not to mention, we in a pandemic. I got an apartment. However, I'm accustomed to living my life a certain way.
Right.
I have to tighten my belt in order for y'all to stay afloat. Now, I go here and leave. I'm going to walk. either way it goes, if you apply for unemployment, they still got to pay you. No matter how it go, you still got to pay them. And that's something that nobody really understands. It's like this pandemic, if it has not shown anybody anything, the government don't control anything. Because look how this crap up on everybody.
Yep.
Nobody was prepared. Oh, I want to get outside. I want to go outside. I can't stay in the house. I don't want
to
do this.
Sounded like some kid ready to go outside like this has been on punishment for a long time. I'm listening to you.
I'm going to keep it real with you. You let me tell it. I feel like the president that had us on punishment for stuff we didn't even do. Because when they first told him about it, he had an opportunity to do something about it before it even got to this point where everything had to be shut down. So my whole thing is, he was like, okay, so since y'all don't want to respect me as your president, I'm going to let this shit come on in. Excuse my language. I'm going to let it come on in.
You all right.
And I'm going to let it kick off, right? Real good in here. And I'm going to lock y'all down. So those people that didn't want to be no parents, because school was in session, I'm going to go up there and talk to little Ray Ray teacher. You not going to talk to my child like that. Now you see why Ray Ray teacher was telling you, you need to get your child together.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you got to be the teacher. Oh, but they said my child talk back. Now they in the house with you all day. You have to understand, look, that's your child. See, a lot of us as parents never paid attention to what the teacher was saying. Oh, no, she just don't like my child. Nah, they was telling you the truth, but because you were not there, you don't know.
They're dry. The ones I put yours in, they wasn't dry and it was washed.
So, that's how we got to look at it.
Let it sit in there?
You got people that's going on to the grocery store that probably ain't go to the grocery store as much. That I never went to a grocery store where everybody was buying that toilet paper. Why?
I didn't get that either. At all.
Why are we buying that toilet paper? What's the toilet paper going to do? Now, that's all I understand that.
Yep.
But toilet paper? Why? We not even about to be in the house that long.
No.
But see, everybody talking about, oh, well, the president got sick and he lied. Yeah, I said it.
Hey.
I said it. I feel the way I feel. I said it.
I co-signed that. I believe that too. He lied.
He lied. The reason why he lied is because of the fact if he was sick the way he was, and I know people who had COVID.
Right.
If he was sick the way he was, he would not have been out there trying to put, he would have been in the hospital, not just for a couple of, not for a day or so. He'd have been in the hospital. Oh, yeah. Just like he said, nobody pays attention to what he said. I'm going to have a miracle cure by November, by the time for election. It boosts the morale. People won't vote for him because he's got this cure. No, he ain't got this cure. He caught it. Oh, then his son caught it. Then Melania caught it. I watched Meet in the Press this morning and I'm like, what did y'all do? Y'all sold people on an idea that this man caught it for something he said was fake.
People better wake up and rise up, wake up and pay attention. But I need to ask you a question. I don't know if you've been hearing the talk or you've been on social media about Ice Cube going up there to the White House talking to both parties. Allegedly, this is what I'm hearing through social media, down the word of mouth. How do you feel about that? And then on top of that, people was bashing him because he did that. Or they think that he signed the deal with the devil. Allegedly.
Okay. I'm gonna answer that question in two ways.
Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, because I'm gonna bring it to them like this. When people say things like that, I need tangible evidence.
Right.
I don't want to hear word of mouth, because you know they had them blogs and everything, and they could say boo 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 X Y Z, and then it comes out okay, that's a lie. I need tangible evidence. It ain't come from his mouth. It ain't been on the news. I don't want to hear. But then I have to think about it like this. If he did do it, what right do I have to say he wrong?
That's true.
What right do I have to say he wrong? And I'm going to put it to our younger audience and our older audience this way. You know how your parent used to tell you about that girl or that guy you used to want to talk to that had everything wrong with him? Bad. And then they told you about this good guy that, you know, I feel like, you know, you can go with this good guy. But because your parents had such a niche for this, the bad person, to be defined, what are you going to do? You're going to go deal with the bad person because the good person ain't appetizing. They put too much emphasis on the bad person. Just think about the election. 90% of the people, if they go out and vote, I'm praying they go out and vote. And if they do, this is the biggest election that we've ever had.
Yeah.
If they go out there and vote, this will make a difference. Because he's already done said, if he don't win the election, he ain't leaving the White House. He's already done said that. So if Ice Cube went up there and he wanted to talk and say his little piece, that's fine with me. I'm not against it. I'm not for it neither. But at the end of the day, if that's something that he can live with, I'm cool with. If you can't live with your choices, don't make them.
Don't make them. Well, I feel as though, not to cut you off, but I feel as though at least he taking a stand for us to propose that letter that we need something done. If you want us to vote, if you really want us to vote, we, you know what I mean, as a whole, we need something done because we've been getting, you know, we've been getting fucked over for up 10 years. And continuously still going through a lot of shit.
I'm gonna put it to you like this. Something that my husband told me a while ago, and I didn't believe what he said. He said, it doesn't matter who in the White House. At the end of the day, that's just a face. They, what do they control? They don't control nothing. Why am I appealing to you? You can't do nothing for me. The people that I need to be appealing to is the House of Representatives, the counselors. Those are who I need to be appealing to, because if we were supposed to have these stimulus checks, we'd have been had them if it was left up to Donald, because he wanted our votes.
True.
But Nancy Pelosi said, no, I ain't going for it. That showed me right then, you ain't got no power, bruh. Only thing you doing is you up here being a face. And when I say this presidency has been the most ridiculous and redundant, oh my gracious, it's just been a circus. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. What have you done for the city? Only thing I know is I mad and pissed you off by putting Black Lives Matter and made it a street right in front of the White House.
Yep.
So every time you, when they say where you live at, you got to tell them Black Lives Matter Boulevard. When you sat there and you said that you want to stand down and stand firm, first of all, him as a person, there's some questionable things about it. He runs this like it's a business failing. He doesn't see anything else, but it's a business, because that's all Donald Trump knows, business.
I was just going to say that, yep.
So he gonna run the country like a business. Biden, you done ran 3 times for presidency. If you don't get it this time, bruh, cut it out. Just let it go.
Yes.
And see, and I'm gonna be honest with you, only reason why people might even attempt to vote for him is because he has Kamala, what's her name, Kamala Harris?
Yeah, Kamala Harris. Yeah.
Yeah, as his VP. You think he gonna be out there doing anything? She gonna be in control.
Yep, she gonna be.
Gonna be the puppet.
Yep.
That's just like them wildfires in California. That's just like all these other things that's going on. These earthquakes, all these different things. All this is going on. What are we doing? I ask the listeners of your podcast, how many of them can say, I called and checked on a friend today? I called and said hello to somebody.
Y'all hear that? Because I'm still waiting on the call.
I called to see if you were okay. How are you holding up? Do you need to vent? When I tell you it's bad out here, it is bad. You know how many of my friends that then contemplated suicide because of what's going on? Now?
Yeah, I can believe that.
People don't want to listen to this and they don't want to think about it. They be like, oh, well, you know, it's not God. It's not this, not that. When we are put in boxes and we are confined, almost like jail, and if I tell you this is what you can and cannot do, I break your spirit. I break your drive. Because I need you to understand I'm in control. What are we doing? They tell us, oh, if they put up the little curfew thing, we can't go outside. Oh, people have a whole heart attack. I want to go outside. I want to have a drink. I want to do this. I want to do that. Why? This is your life. This is your health.
True.
I understand some people have to be social, but this is when I say this a lot when I'm on the shows with you and Paul.
Yes.
This is where self-care and self-love come in to play. You got to learn to love yourself. Everybody not going to understand what you're going through. If you're not honest within you, how can you be honest with anybody else? When you sit there and be like, because I can say this right now and be 100% honest with myself. I felt fucked up today. Why? Because I know there's somebody out here that's missing a meal. I know there's somebody out there that ain't got no roof over their head. There's somebody out there that need a ride that don't got no money. But I can go to the store and I can purchase some things for me and my daughter that will make us feel better and continue on about my day. But for that one time you walk past that one person, it could be a complete stranger. Are you okay? I know it's tough right now. It don't take nothing to encourage people.
That's true.
It's bad. But what are you doing to encourage? We have so much negative energy that we want to blame everybody for what's going on in the world, in our lives. It comes from decision making.
If you
don't know what type of decision you gonna make, don't make one. It's okay to take your time. It's okay to say, I'm gonna put this off right now because this is something that I need to give thought, real thought on. I can't be like, okay, I'm dedicated to this today. But soon as somebody do something to me to knock me off my square, I'm back to square one all over again. If I'm sitting up here and I'm telling everybody that, you know what, I'm fine, I'm good, I know I'm not fine, I know I'm not good, But because we're so judgmental as people, oh, what you going through? You got groceries, you got lights, you got this. You don't understand what I got to deal with. When I walk into my job, I got to deal with the public. When I walk into my job, I got to see these people. And you don't know who's sick and who not sick. Everybody don't respect the mask rule. I don't know if I walk into my job, they be like, this your last day.
Come on.
We got to shut down again.
That's the truth.
So every time I walk out that door, I don't know what I'm going to encounter.
You know what? That's true.
And nobody understands as you know, black women and men, we will down each other, but we will never ever uplift each other. When it comes down to things, and even with me just, you know, starting my own podcast and just talking about
that. Congratulations on that. Sorry, I had to call that out. Go ahead. I seen that too. Go ahead. We're going to talk about that towards the end. We're coming to the end. So go ahead. Speak how you feel on the Night Shift podcast. Go ahead.
My feelings was that I'm 38. I'm getting ready to turn 39, November 6th. I did not have the ability as youth to see what's going on, like the way things are now. We had respect, we had understanding, we had love for each other. You know, we didn't stab each other in the back. But I just, when I started the podcast, my thought process was like Good Vibes. I changed the name from Good Vibes to Black Love.
Yes.
Because nobody talks about Black Love.
They don't.
Black Love pretty much is this. Being able to love unconditionally, even though you know that dude did you dirty, being able to love them enough to let them go and let them be. To be able to love that woman enough to say, you know what, I know that's not you. What's going on with you? Where's your head at right now? Do you need to talk? To have that love to be like this, even though you're not my brother or you're not my sister, I'm going to take you under my wing because I see potential
right.
in you. And I see that you can go somewhere far. If you can't go somewhere far, then what are you doing it for? In the communities that we live in, there is not enough black love for us to just embrace each other enough to say, you know what, at the end of the day, the things that we're trying to do is trying to better our people. If we're not bettering our people, what are we doing it for? We can't stand up to the president or to the Ku Klux Klan and be like, you can't kill us if we can't stop killing ourselves.
Come on. And that's all I'll be saying. Right. It has to matter within us and ourselves.
If you don't pay attention, because we'll sit up here and we'll say, oh, I don't like this person because they got them shoes, or I don't like this person because they have, you don't know what their story is. They may be hustling because they ain't got nowhere to stay and they need that $90 for a room. You don't know why that person doing that. You don't know if they was molested. You don't know what their story is. And people have this preconception of judging everybody. We have no room, because there is no perfect person. We have no room for judgment. Our whole point process is this. If I can give you a leg up, I'm going to give you a leg up. But once you get up, how you maintain it is on you.
Yep.
I've done my part. I can't be mad at anybody out here to be like, oh, well, you know what? I'm going to stay at home and I'm going to collect unemployment. That's your stitch. But baby, when they cut it off like they did in July, what you going to do? First thing y'all do is get on the news. I don't know what I'm going to do.
The news, the phone. I don't know what I, as always, I don't know what I'm going to do.
I need to figure out something. My whole thing was, I was taught, you may can't pay all your rent, but if I throw you $500, that's half what I owe. And that means that I done put something down. I might still got like another 500 left. Okay, so 120 go to groceries, transportation, a little spending pocket money here and there. I know I can't spend out for to eat, so I'm gonna cook meals every day to make sure I got lunch.
Right, it's all about balance and budget.
And we sit up here and we talk about, oh, you got the newest car, you got the desk, you got the that. I'm gonna tell you something that somebody told me. It's not about what they say about you, it's what you answer to.
That's right.
Because there is nobody out here that can say they are better than you if you have to talk about them behind your back. And I'm speaking from experience. I'm not going to sit up here and be like this. I'm Miss Goody Too. I'm going to speak from experience. Because I was one. I was with the drama. I'm all for the shits. I'm with it. But one thing I had to learn, just like you with it, there's a bunch of other people that's with it too.
That's true.
Now, they with it might not be the same as your with it. They might be like this, okay, so if we gonna take it there, I might as well just get you out the way all the way together because I'm with that. We gotta remember what we fighting for. We don't want white people or other people to call us, you know, we still enslaved and, you know, we don't have no thought process. They have to remember one thing. It ain't always been like this. It hasn't. Everything that they know how to do, it was taught to them by somebody of another color. This is the only country where race plays into. If you go to the Netherlands and you go to anywhere else, it doesn't matter. It's only here.
You know what I heard? That you the second person that said that. It's only here in America.
Only here. My mom is from Morocco. Okay.
Okay.
And, you know, my father is, he's from deep down south. So my mother's mother was Dominican. So I'm all mixed up in there. My father is Blackfoot Indian. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm not just one person. I have all of these traits. So when you talk about one, I'm going to take offense to either way because I am all of that in one. What people don't understand, the most disrespected person in the world is the black woman. What they do not understand, the black woman pushes the black man.
That's true. That's absolutely true. I agree.
The woman raises the kids. Now, if your kids coming up the wrong way, you needed to evaluate who you lay down with, because you only lay down with the people that are like you. I must say that. I gotta say that.
You say it. We on a Night Shift podcast. Say that.
I have to say that. We get mad at who people deal with. No, you attract who you are. So if you ain't shit, you gonna get ain't shit. Simple as that. But one thing I was taught, you can always turn a negative into a positive with the right encouragement.
That's true. You didn't have to go to math class to learn that now, did you?
No.
That's true.
Now, if you want to be a good person, you want to make sure that you're doing everything right. I'm not going to say it's a perfect person out here. There isn't. But you know what? If you hold, we forgot about our morals, responsibilities, and how we conduct ourselves. Morals and principles, all those things, those hold weight.
You talk to foreign. They don't know what that is.
if I can sit here and tell you I don't like that, I don't like what you're doing, but you continue on doing, my morals is that I need to stop dealing with you because you don't respect me enough to stop doing what I ask you to. I'm not speaking on anything but experience. I got to keep saying that. I'm not speaking out my ass. I'm speaking from experience. Because there's people that will smile in your face all day long, but hate you as soon as you turn your back. Why? Because your morals and principles will not allow you to stoop to their level.
I guess from the drink. I hear you.
And it's not fair that a lot of us have to go through that. Like, I hear my cousin Paul talk on his show about how women saying they're not finding the right men. I hear that. I have a friend that she said she's never had a boyfriend. That hurt me. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
She says she has never experienced a boyfriend because she's always been that fun girl. Everybody liked it to hang out with, but she was never taken seriously enough. And now she's at that point where that's what she wants. Nobody is able to obtain that goal. We go back to, you get what you attract.
Ain't that the truth?
If you attract fun, what you gonna get? Fun.
You gonna get that fun attraction.
That's what it is. Me and my significant other been together 11 years. Our relationship has not always been perfect. It ain't always been good, but when the good times was good, they were good. When the bad times was bad, they was fucked up.
Yeah.
But one thing he always taught me is, if somebody feels as though they can get into your ear and tell you everything that you are insecure about and let it play on your mind, they got you. We gotta stop letting these bitter, unhappy folk tell us what it means to be happy. You will never be able to be happy and experience true love if you cannot let go.
That's the truth. I agree with you.
All of us come in with baggage, but at the same time, coming in with baggage, know your baggage. Some stuff is bullshit, ladies. I'm gonna put it out there for y'all. Some bullshit.
Yeah, I heard it.
It's in this day and age, for every man, there's 10 women. Statistically, now this is statistics. Now this man has 10 women he can choose from. What makes you different than all of the other women that he's only going to choose you? This day and age, they telling women, you ain't got to know how to cook, you ain't got to know how to clean, you ain't got to do this, you ain't got to do that, pay me. So all them women that's like, pay me, what y'all doing now?
I'm
going to say it louder for the people that didn't hear me in the back. What y'all doing now?
That's true. I don't know. I don't think I want to really get into that, because I think we know what they doing now. If you tune into the Paul TV show every day,
I mean, I do understand what they're doing. My whole thing is, you ready to jeopardize your life for a couple of dollars? I don't understand that. I'm not built like, I'm cut from a different cloth.
Right.
My husband has been like this. Okay, why don't you go ahead and quit your job and stay home, be a stay-at-home mom, while I go ahead and I work. I could do that, but my pride won't let me. The reason my pride won't let me, because I'm not going to ask you for nothing. I'm not going to do it. I'm not built like that. I'm not going to come to you and be like, hey, honey, can I get $10, $20 so I can go? No, I want to be able to go and get my own money and spend my own money. Not saying it's not the house money, but if I want to get some, I don't need to explain to you why I want to get it.
Okay, I see. Because you got some married couple that operates how they operate, but you putting it like that, ain't nothing wrong with that either.
I'm not saying it's wrong, because I will say this. Now, my husband, he keeps all the cars. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
What if I say it's something that I want? Let me get my car. That saying I'm trying to take anything away from him as being a man. It's just how I was brought up. My father did, 10 years. He wasn't around. By the time my father came home from jail, I'm grown. What you gonna tell me? What you gonna tell me that I don't know?
Yeah.
Nothing.
That's true.
You were in jail because you made poor decisions. So what is it that I'm listening to you for? You want to tell me that you have poor decision making. That's how I rate people. Don't come to me and tell me that you want me to be better if you can't show me better. Because then I think you're a hypocrite. Because if you can't show me how you're doing better for yourself, don't come to me and tell me how I can do better for myself. Because what works for you works for you, but what works for me works for me.
Oh, that's the truth. That's the truth. And on that note, I know you got a lot. So I can't wait for a podcast really, really takes off. So can you tell the people on my platform about your podcast? Go on here.
Spotlight. Okay. Okay, so my podcast is called Black Love. Black Love is pretty much based upon us as African American people finding love within ourselves, finding love within our culture, finding love in sister and brotherhood within each other. The whole point of my podcast is I'm not afraid to say those things that people think, because we want real answers. If you are looking to change your mindset or think of something or another way, I would suggest listening to it. I talk about relationships. I talk about life. I talk about children. I talk about everything. I talk about those things that's hidden in your closet that keep you up at night, because that's what holds us back as Black people. We've suffered so much trauma that it's hard to talk about. For the fear of being ridiculed, I talk about those things that make you uncomfortable. But those things that will break you free from any change of disparity that's holding you back. Because we are our biggest fans, but we also sabotage ourselves.
We do. People. I agree.
My podcast is to give you that feel good energy. It's not going to be happy all the time, but it's going to leave you with something to think about as you go out throughout your day. What can I do different that I didn't do yesterday, but I can do today? If you by doing it once, you can do it for a week. If you do it twice, you can do it for 2 weeks, and then so on and so on. The same way we get up and put our shoes on and tie our shoes, our mental stability and how we think about things should be able to change. Everything.
I know you got a lot. And I know you got a lot that you want to get out. So I can't wait until that podcast get going. So how many days a week are you gonna be on air? Are you doing it weekly, weekday, weekends?
Well, right now, I have 2 episodes already posted. I'm doing it every day. If it comes to me, I'm on it. Okay. Because it's questions that's asked that a lot of people don't understand or they are afraid to talk about. Like, a lot of people are afraid to talk about mental health. A lot of people are afraid to talk about addictions. A lot of people are afraid to talk about, if I give you a book and you read it, and this book tells you how to change your life, their fear is of the success that they would do. See, everybody keeps forgetting that before you can get somewhere, you have to do a pre-determination. So you got a plan for what you want to do before you determine if that's right for you. My podcast is going to make some people uncomfortable. I understand that some of the things that I talk about makes me uncomfortable, but we can't heal as a nation if we don't get in that space that makes you uncomfortable.
So what's the saying? Because I think what the saying I always say, and I say to my kids, but I be forgetting. In order for that cut to heal, it got to go through this process, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
A good friend of mine told me this, which is a saying that I use. A process. When you break the word down, process. Before you do anything, I must equip you with all the knowledge that I have before you start your process or your transition. Because you got to go through a transition in order to get to your process. You got to go through some things. We got to be honest with ourselves enough to say, like, look, I'm not all that good. I'm not good in a relationship. What about me makes people look at things differently? You really have to ask yourself them questions. And if you can't be honest with yourself, you're never going to be able to be honest with anyone else.
That's the truth. So can I ask you one more question before we wrap it up? Where can the audience that you're attracting, where can they find you at? Can they look you up right now on Facebook or any social media platform if they got to reach out and talk to you?
They can look me up on Facebook at Michelle Dark and Lovely Smith. It's Biggest Day on there, where they can find it on Spotify as well. If they really wanted to. I would say, I would advise, not just because it's mine, but I would advise people to listen to it, because me doing this podcast really put me in an uncomfortable position, because I had to face a lot of fears in order for me to do it. Like, I have horrible anxiety. So for me to be able to talk about certain things, it's difficult, but somebody can take from it, and it could save somebody's life.
That's the truth. Well, on that note, we're gonna wrap this podcast up with you can reach us, A Carter the One on Instagram, Anthony Carter on Facebook, and A Carter the One on Twitter. You can hit up my man's Paul Moss on Facebook, Paul the Chosen One Moss on IG, and also tune in to Paul TV every weekday. Paul TV AM, Paul TV Out and About, Paul TV Rush Hour, and Paul TV Weekends. On that note, I appreciate you, Miss Michelle, for coming to the Night Shift Podcast, letting everybody know what we're looking forward to. As these next few months to a couple of years, what we're going to be looking forward to and what changes we might need to make. Thank you for talking briefly about your podcast. I'm going to be tuning in myself. I'm going to support me and Paul going to support the podcast and everything. So I appreciate you for tuning in. It was
and
my pleasure.
And I appreciate you as well. Thank you for allowing me to be able to come on and just share with everyone. I just want everyone to remember one thing. If they don't take anything else from this conversation, it takes more to change a situation to a negative than it does to change a situation to a positive. Show each other kindness. And remember, Black love does exist. It's all in about how you go about getting it.
That's right. So we appreciate y'all tuning in. I appreciate the audience for the support and for all the love. On that note, we out of here. Thanks for tuning in.